Scott, that's jwalpar.com. Final Days Report, episode 331. This is not going to be a news VCAS. I started this Watchman News ministry because I would have dreams of the United States destruction of the end of days, and then I'd have dreams on a personal perspective that would come true. And I remember reading the passage, if a watchman doesn't blow the trumpet, the blood is back on his head. And for those of you that follow my ministry, in 2008, I had a dream. The Antichrist basically had a fake resurrection, and his brain, his head, was tied to this mega computer, probably a quantum computer. Quantum computers speak to other dimensions. They're coming out with news articles on how brain cells actually will be hooked up to quantum computers. So the fake God is artificial intelligence. The AI will be somehow linked with this. As the days of Noah, devil juice with his nanotech, his optogenetics. The Lord showed me this and this mind controlism technology with as the days of Noah, devil juice, that's been proven to have nanotechnology in it, right? People are showing up as Mac IDs. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. The Lord showed me this in 2008. And so this dream that I want to cover with a Bible lesson in the end, basically, I think is primarily for the saints. Are you truly saved? And it convicted me as well. You know, we all are part of the flesh, and we all have our sin. We're all dirty rags, but you need to get rid of your habitual sin, my friends. So let's get into this dream. What I'm going to do is I'm going to actually talk about the dream, and then in the end, I'm going to interpret it with scripture. And this was a wild one. I wrote this down right after it happened. And I know it dreams from the Lord, because my dreams are about things that I like, right? And when they're multidimensional and vivid, I know they're from the Lord. So let's read. A younger lukewarm Christian. I think he was a lukewarm Christian, a Christian that the Lord would spit out of his mouth. I saw this dream through his eyes, but I know he was young. A younger lukewarm Christian man was at a pool party, basically lying in the sun, and this attractive Christian woman, she was modestly dressed, right, was flirting with the man, kidding around with soft flirtation, kind of touching him, like kind of punching his arm in a kidding way, and like, you know, come on. And this lukewarm young Christian man knew in his heart she was flirting with him. You can just tell, right, when women play with their hair, there's some signals, and she was doing that in my dream. The next scene, it jumps, and this, the flirting with the woman comes into play later in the dream. The next scene, this younger, lukewarm Christian man, and I say Christian loosely, was with this elder, white-bearded man. I got the sense he was a pastor, right, an old school man. He was sitting guiding these wild animals like elk, deer, bears, sheep, etc. He was moving them towards this valley, through this valley that was just beautiful beyond words. And he's like, they need to travel a mile or so to this glorious water. And I saw like almost like a drone shot of the animals going through this beautiful valley, and then opened up was just the sea of water, this bay that just looked beautiful. I mean, it was hard to describe. It's hard to describe. And again, for those of you who know me, I'm a terrible speller. I'm terrible in English. I would have been an all-A student, or I was an all-A student when I was dating someone in college that would proof my work. And granted, I was before the technology that can help edit your papers. But regardless, this was beautiful. I don't have words to describe this valley. It reminded me of as the days of Noah. So the next scene of the dream, the Moses-looking elder man that was pushing these animals through the valley, I got the sense he was a Christian, looked over at the younger man and said, look, there's an angel I was telling you about. And this angel was in the air, and it was huge. It was gray. It was probably the size of the Statue of Liberty, but up high, maybe 3,000-4,000 feet, just hovering. And I remember this younger Christian was in awe. He was awestruck. And the so-called angel came down to the elder. It was like the elder was inviting this thing in. This angel, so-called angel, came down and shrunk in size and was about to enter this elderly man. And the young, lukewarm Christian man saw that the so-called angel close up was a demon. It was demonic. And he quickly rebuked it in the name of Jesus Christ. And he said to the elder man, "This is evil. This is demonic." The young man was panicked. "Don't let this in you." The young man rebuked it in the name of Jesus Christ. So that's why I know he basically was a believer. Next, and it's a similar location, this lukewarm Christian man turned his head, and behind him was this bay slash ocean. I think it was probably a bay. And there was this large rectangular object, like a huge, I'm talking mega shipping container that was beyond anything made, but it reminded me of a shipping container that was in the bay with these transparent strings pulling this shipping container in the water. And the transparent strings went up to this huge, it wasn't an orb, but it was kind of oval shape in nature, but there was just power behind it, almost like it was coming up from the heavenlies, pulling this transparent string, this power source, moving the shipping container in the water with power. And this mega shipping container was rolling over sailboats anchored by the beach. So I grew up in Michigan, and if you went to Lake Michigan, you would see boats and sailboats docked by the beach. And it's just one big party, and people, you know, jump from boat to boat. Happens, you know, multiple places. That was the scene I have. And the shipping container being pulled by these transparent strings, rolling over, destroying these sailboats and boats. And this young Christian lukewarm man, in my spirit, I was just like grieved. No, are these people being wiped out? Are they dead? Are they going to be okay? And next, the shipping container took a right turn onto the beach, and the beach was a party. String bikinis, just a gluttonous party, and started plowing through partiers on the beach. I didn't see anybody pass. I didn't see anybody get injured, but it was plowing through. My take is it's judgment, right? Wheat and the tares plowing through the beach, plowing through people that are just not living right and being excessive with drugs and alcohol, that sort of thing. Next, what was wild is I saw these, you know, so the shipping container went through the beach, plowed through, people running, screaming. And then I saw these transparent strings pulling huge fat yachts, like a yacht a billionaire would have. And these yachts were being pulled through the beach, that this shipping container kind of paved the way in the sand, like narrow is the way in the sand. And then these yachts were actually going through magically through the beach, one after the other, after the other, after the other, fat yachts. And it came to the last yacht. And basically what I saw is this skinny yacht, unlike the rest that were fat yachts, being pulled through. And it was like my dream sped up, like just multiple hundreds and hundreds of yachts went through. And then the last yacht was this skinny yacht. And the captain of the boat said, "Hold on." And he kind of paused, like the string was trying to pull him. He kind of paused. He said, "Hold on, everybody." And he cranked up the engines, and he just like, I think he said, "Look out of the way." And he cranked the engine to try to speed it through the beach where all the other fat yachts went through. And he tried to speed it through the beach and had this violent crash. The skinny yacht went through the beach, fell on its side, and crashed. And in my spirit, I was like, I hope the people on the yacht are not dead. Like, it was a violent crash. And out came the captain that was hurt badly, and he was a gluttonous, large man. And he limped with others on the boat that survived and that crashed, and he just took a left turn. He took a left turn into a bar restaurant and started to party, to indulge. It was of the flesh, little faith, my friends. So the next scene, basically, I saw the same young man in a work environment. So the next scene, the so-called Christian young man was in a white-collar workplace environment as a lower-tier employee, maybe like a middle manager. He was really nervous of getting downsized, for there was a process to eliminate jobs. So I've probably in my career working for Fortune 100, Fortune 500 companies, have gone through downsizing exercises at least four times. Sometimes they'll bring in consultants. Sometimes it'll just be HR led. Sometimes you have to interview for your position. Sometimes you have to take IQ tests. I mean, it's funny. It's a way to weed out people, right? And so he was really nervous of getting downsized. I heard in my spirit, he's like, I really don't do much. I'm really not a valued employee, or somebody else could do my job very easily. So he knew he wasn't necessarily adding a ton of value to the company. So this was, again, a cost-cutting exercise, and he told these HR people, eliminate the two VPs, the vice presidents. You can save a lot of money. We do their jobs anyways. They really don't add much value. They don't do much, and we can take on their workload. So he was throwing the VPs under the bus to save his own job. The next scene I'm calling Betrayal of the Friend. The next scene, the young, lukewarm Christian man was playing with an orphan young boy, and the attractive Christian woman from the first scene of the dream, the woman that basically was flirting with him, that was modestly dressed at a pool party, very attractive Christian woman. She was flirting with him at the pool again. She was impressed because this young Christian man was playing with this young orphan boy, and she really thought, hey, this guy is nurturing. He could be a loving father. This is amazing how he's treating this young orphan boy. And she asked him, how long have you been helping this young boy? And the young Christian, lukewarm Christian, said, 5 minutes, for my friend is taking care of him. That was the VP at the company. So ultimately, he threw the VP, his friend, under the bus. In my sense, in the dream, the VP lost his job per this Christian, lukewarm Christian young man's suggestion to save more money by getting rid of the VPs. The next scene, I saw this young woman cuddling up to the VP that lost his job. Her attention went to him, and they were kind of at a couch, very, very close, and not cuddling, not doing anything aggressive, but I felt sorrow in my spirit through this young man's eyes that he probably lost the love of his life. And the final scene, this blew me away. The same young man was at a doctor's office, and the doctor started cutting deep into his leg with a surgical tool, surgical type knife, to get worms out of him. He cut inches into his body, into his leg. The doctor pulled out white worms and put them on the table, and the worms began to expand. They were very, very petite worms, gross, but petite, and then they just expanded, maybe a half of an inch long. And the young man basically split the worms open, and milk started pouring out of them. Milk started pouring out of these worms. And so then he took the worms, put them on the floor because two black and white cats looked like they wanted to eat them. And he cut the worms on the floor for them, and more milk came out of these worms. And in my dream, I could smell the milk. It was nasty, and the cats wanted nothing to do with the worms, this foul milk. It was nasty. And then the dream ended. This is one of those I had to write it down right away. And so here's my interpretation, and I think this is a message to Christians. Are you caught up in the flesh? Are your fruits good? I know many self-professing Christians that are massive drunks. So some scripture, we're going to go through a lot of scripture, and I'll go through different scenes and give my interpretation. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. One of the models I try to follow, and granted, I'm going to tell you firsthand, you know, I struggle obviously with sin. Recently divorced, my wife filed divorce, and I went to a play the other day with a friend, and I had a very attractive woman flirt with me, and I thought about her for a couple weeks. And I know she's not a godly woman, right? So God sees your heart. Get yourself right with him. This is my mindset. God sees your heart. Get yourself right with him. Make Jesus your first love. Not your kids, not your husband, not your parents. Make Jesus your first love. Have faith. Repent when you sin. Get rid of your habitual sin. Pray with thanks. Get in the Word of God. I find myself, this is where I'm guilty. I find myself going after the news because this is a news ministry more than in the Word of God. Now, I do a lot of studying. I remember scripture. I'm like, you know, every news ministry I do, I want to tie it back to these end of days because I'm convinced we're in the end of days. And I want to try to save souls, but I just need to get more in the Word of God. So I repent of that. And ultimately, God will give you wisdom. And more importantly, he'll give you this inner peace. I know what's happening. He showed me what's happening. I've seen my dreams being fulfilled. And I have this inner peace that is undescribable. So you need to find that as well if you don't have it. But let's read Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 8. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And the scripture that really haunts me when I was first a Christian is, are you a lukewarm Christian? Neither hot nor cold. You don't want to be spit out. You don't want Christ to throw up thinking about you. All right, let's continue. The sour milk. And again, is Christ your foundation? It's bad milk. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And Corinthians is a wild book. If you think of hyper grace, read 1 Corinthians, the whole book. I mean, it'll set you straight, my friends. Drunkards don't inherit the kingdom of God. Kick these people out of the church. I'm telling you, a ton of my friends that are Christians are weekend drunks, which I was, and I gave the testimony a couple podcasts ago. I think I opened up demonic doors because of that. Could have been one of the cases that I had to actually do a deliverance on. But let's read. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That's a deep verse. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So my big thing is, are you a double-minded Christian? Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Again, get Christ as your foundation. And again, I think the skinny ship used his power and crashed. Then they went into the bar. Obviously, drunkards do not inherit the kingdom of the Lord. And I'm talking about habitual drunkenness. If you slip once in a blue moon and repent, I think you'll be fine. But is this a lifestyle? Are you waking up in the morning and hitting the bottle? Or drinking every night to drunkenness? But not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Proverbs 23, verses 20 through 21. And then Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that, get this, diligently seek him. Are you diligently seeking Christ? Is Christ your first love? It just reminds that skinny boat, like, hold up, everybody move. And the power, he, you know, tried to jack up the power, his own power, to run through the beach, and then it fell down. And he's like, all right, let's go to the bar. Let's go to the bar and get drunk. All right, the throwing the vice president friend under the bus for self-gain, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For what that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Just self-gain. I was thrown under the bus by a friend. I'd call him a friend. I mean, I would go to dinner with him. You know, it was a fun couple. We both had young children. I had a young child. He had a couple children. Threw me under the bus to get a promotion. I could not believe it. So this kind of hit home with me. And then reap what you sow. When you really dive deep in the word reap, it just kind of reminds me of Revelation 14 and 15. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So you're going to want to make sure that you're on the wheat side, not the tares side, my friends. And this parlays into, are you bride ready? Are you a wise virgin? A listener sent me a note and said, the parable of the wise virgins keeps me up at night. And I don't believe for a second the wise virgin is a parable about Jews and Christians. This is a parable about people that believe in Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ or bust, my friends. This Schofield doctrine is nonsense. Research the Schofield doctrine where the pre-trib rapture came out of. Veterans Today actually just did a nice article a couple days ago that I was going to cover about the Schofield Bible, but let's read. Are you lukewarm? Are you really saved? Is Christ your first love? Do you have the fear of the Lord? Are you a child of disobedience? And the beach members and the sailboats destroyed, God is separating again the wheat and the chaff. How close are we? Judgment, destroying the beach? And just a couple proof points to the parable of the wheat and the tares. You know, dive deep into that with a King James Version Bible. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made himself ready. Have you made yourself ready? Are you ready? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I'm telling you, my friends, now is the time to clean house. If you need to forgive some people, forgive some people. And don't beat yourself up. Don't beat yourself up to the point where you're miserable. But get that personal relationship with Christ. Ask Christ to show some things that he's not proud of in your lifestyle. And again, he works on me every day. I'm not coming to you as this massively righteous person. No way. We all battle the flesh. But seek that relationship with Christ, my friends. Now, I want to actually take a look at the elder leading the animals. It just reminded me of As the Days of Noah, is the sense I had in my spirit. So test the spirits. And I think this is a message about don't follow a pastor that will lead you astray or tickles your ears. Is the pastor learning and growing with the technology, this transhumanism technology? We all got caught up in interpreting the Bible with the information that we had. But you have to remember, Lucifer and Satan are the great copycat. They want to be omnipresent like God. Well, how can you be omnipresent? Hook your hive mind up to artificial intelligence. Klaus Schwab will know your thoughts, doing brain scans. Optogenetics, mind controlism, that can erase memories and plant memories. They're going to promise things that are insane, like you can live forever. So follow somebody that is really moving the needle. And if you have a pastor that you love, that you know is a God-fearing pastor, educate them. Send this VCast to them. Because many people I listen to that I know have good fruits, they are stuck in the old paradigm, my friends. They're not seeing the word of God as it's unfolding in front of them. And I think they're leading their sheep astray, my friends. Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall grow great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So is your pastor aware of these false signs and miracles that will be coming. And again, study yourself to be approved. This is where I need to step up. More Bible, less news, even though I present the news, tie it to the Bible. That's something that I'm going to try to commit to. Don't be a lazy Christian. And again, most of my friends, they're deceived by false light and the Schofield doctrine. I think the pre-trib rapture, every time I say this, people have thumbs down. But when you really scrutinize the Bible, Jesus Christ doesn't come back like a yo-yo. He doesn't come back twice. Read Revelation as well. People that actually give their lives and are part of the first resurrection will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. There aren't 7, 3, 4, 5 resurrections. And people that blindly follow Trump. Trump gave us censorship, 5G, warp speed, this biohacking of you. He's very connected with Epstein. I was listening to True News years ago, and I remember there was this witness in the New York mansion talking about how there was this young woman, and Trump walked in. This is her testimony on True News, and Epstein told Trump, she's not for you. And this woman gave the testimony that every room in that mansion had a camera. This is a black male culture. Trump signed Noah Hyde laws. If you really dive deep into the woman of the book of Revelation that rides the beast and makes war with the whore, the woman is the great city where they crucified Jesus, that's called Sodom in Egypt. They crucified Jesus in Jerusalem. Noah Hyde laws, we actually showed all those rabbis saying, if you worship Jesus Christ, it's idol worship and it's the death penalty. It's aligning. Israel is very, very big with artificial intelligence, my friends. All right, so are you a righteous virgin? And 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 6, I think, is homework. I mean, if you're a Christian and you believe in hyper grace, you need to read 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 6 and just ponder it. King James Version is what I prefer. So really, just summarizing 1 Corinthians chapter 6, right? It's wrong to defraud Christians. Unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God. Whole laundry list that we've covered often. But you have been transformed and redeemed. You're washed, sanctified, and justified. If you repent and turn from, if you're renewed in the mind, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. This is a transformation, my friends. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6 underscores the importance of living righteously, avoiding sinful behaviors, and experiencing a transformation through faith in Christ. It does indeed imply that people can repent, turn away from their old ways, and be justified by God's grace. The focus is on redemption and sanctification rather than condemnation. It conveys the idea of being upright, just, and approved by God. It reflects a life that aligns with God's standards. And read 1 Corinthians chapter 5 is powerful as well. Kick them out of the church if they're doing these wicked things. Kick them out. So hopefully this was a blessing. And I'm working on or have written another Bible study about the third temple. I actually did one. This third temple is not biblical, and sacrificing a red heifer is not biblical. Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. And so bookmark our site. I'm going to do another Bible lesson probably this week about the third temple myth. And I think this is why the Lord showed me that elder, maybe a pastor that allowed or was allowing that demonic angel in as he was leading animals that to me reminded me of as the days of Noah. Was he was blinded. He needs to wake up. So many pastors that have been schooled are looking for this third temple. And in Ezekiel, the third temple, that was fulfilled. Build this third temple when people left Babylon. I've heard multiple scholars basically make that point. So this upcoming Bible study, we're going to prove you're the temple of God. We're going to prove, give yourself as a daily sacrifice, right? And that fits the abomination of desolation, that the Antichrist will sit in the temple of God. That is you through artificial intelligence, 5G, 6G. they're turning you into a wireless body area network. He will cut off the daily sacrifice because you, as a Christian, need to give yourself as a daily sacrifice to Christ. We're going to prove pharmakia is evil and controls you. And next, we're going to prove this whole thing is a seed war. It's a seed war to a soul war. So make sure you bookmark, and we're going to prove that out as well. And so let's summarize. This dream was a wild dream. I think it was a message, ultimately, for Christians to repent, get right with God, get in the Word of God, make Christ your first love. We all sin. We all fall short. The key is, in my humble opinion, is to not have habitual sin. And if you're one of these hyper-grace people, read 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. I mean, read the parable of the wise virgins. I think the Lord really wants Christians to step up and be a light in these massive dark days. So God bless. Thank you for your support. Make sure you subscribe for our alerts that I send out maybe once a week on sjwellfire.com. And send this VCast to pastors. Send them that you know, love the Lord, love Jesus Christ. But try to wake them up. Try to kick them in the butt. I know a couple Christians that are close to 80 that understand artificial intelligence. They get it. So we need to look at the Bible with new information that we have and dismiss some of the old teachings because things have been revealed to us. God bless. Hopefully this was a blessing.